For today will come from Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
Good morning. That's a lot better, isn't it? We're big on the Bible here. We're big on the Bible because God's big on the Bible. It's His Word. We have a tradition we have in this congregation of many of us reading through the Bible every year. Some of you read through it two or three times every year. This is a big advantage to you. It's going to get you closer to God and getting your mind closer to what your mind ought to be. We all ought to read our Bible. And those that don't, suffer for it. It will hurt you not to fill your mind with the Word of God. That's why we have the tradition here of being daily Bible readers. It's a little late to be a daily Bible reader, but we would give you some sort of a clerical pass if you want to start today, and we'll count your year starting a couple of weeks into the next year, okay? We want to be daily Bible readers. And if you're going to be a daily Bible reader and you're going to read through the Bible this year, what you could do, what would really be of help if you told us that too. Not only that you have done it for 2019, but you're wanting to do it, and then through the year we'll encourage you personally to do that. It'll be helpful if you pick a time when you want to read and a place where you want to read, and then make that an appointment that you have with God's Word. It's sometimes an advantage to you to buy or get a version of the Bible you don't usually read. It'll put the words on a different place in the page. It'll have a little bit of different way the words are arranged, and it will help you kind of bring the Word out to you. It'll be a help to you if you'll take a little notebook with you when you're reading and write down the questions and the thoughts you have from it, so it won't leave you. But mainly, you have to do it. You just have to do it. And there's never been a time when it was more important for us to know the Word of God than now, because there's lots of lies out there. There's lots of false teaching, a lot of strange things going on, a lot of confusion. Satan is alive and active and doing his thing in the world of sowing discord and sowing lies. He's a father of lies. And the best way you can know what a lie is to know what the truth is. And when you know the truth, it'll be a big advantage to you. So let's do that, okay? If you have been a daily Bible reader this last year, or you read through the whole Bible, if you'll let me know, we'd like to have a little celebration. This isn't a reward for you. I know you're not doing it so you can get to dinner, but it's so we can encourage one another. And I'm looking forward to having that time that we can be together. So be sure and put on your attendance card or call the office, or don't just tell me because I'll forget. I need to know how many people are going to be there and what we need to do that. If you haven't been, it's a good thing to do. In our Bible study on the morning and worship each Sunday, when we have our Bible studies, we've been studying from 2 Corinthians. In the last couple of weeks, we're seeing Paul, of all things, having to defend his authority as an apostle. It's a strange thing when you read through and you say, how could anybody doubt the Word of God? How could anybody doubt Paul's writing? Well, we know as we read this, there were people who had other ideas, and they didn't like God asserting His authority and who He is. This is something that happens in several letters, but especially in 2 Corinthians and in the little book of Galatians. There were different problems in those churches, but they were showing up in the same way. In the church at Corinth, they were there was a great pagan influence on this congregation. They were divided. They were immoral. They were secular in their thinking. And so we would call in our day and time, we would call them extreme liberals where they saw that the Word of God was more of a suggestion. To the church in Galatia, we see those people are being drawn back under Judaism, under the old law, the Ten Commandments, and the words of the prophets. But to both congregations, the response to Paul's letter and preaching and the response he gives to them is the same. Go back to the Word of God, and that what he is writing is the Word of God. I want us to look at a few verses, 12 verses, from the first chapter of the book of Galatians. Let's look at that together. Our lesson will come from those verses. So open your Bibles there and follow along. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in grace of Christ, turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul will go on and tell his story like he does in the book of 2 Corinthians. But he's telling us here something that's very important. He's telling us the origin of the gospel and the power of the gospel and what it really is. He's talking about the Word of God. And he's telling us in these very first verses, he's telling us that it comes through Christ Jesus. He tells us it comes through God the Father. And it comes to us by the power of God that is manifest in the fact that he raised the dead. This is important because it tells us Paul's word is from God. He tells us that Paul's word is through Jesus. He's telling us that the word of God that he preached in Galatia and in Corinth, and in some of the letters he will remind us that the rules are the rules in all the churches. In some of the letters, he will say, you read this letter that was sent to that church, and you give your letter to them to read. He's reminding us this is not personal comments. He has some of those at the end, maybe, comments to certain people. But this is the Word of God, and it's meant to be studied. It's meant to be known. It's meant to be shared. And it's meant to be obeyed. He reminds us of this. He tells us that Paul's word is from God. That's very important for us to know, because this attack of the Apostle Paul, this criticism of the Word of God, did not stop in the days of the apostles. It has been a chronic problem that people that go to church and people that don't have had since then. It's a chronic problem of us wanting to do our will and do our thing. It's an idea that if we get together and we make up an idea, that idea is equal to an idea from God. He's going to tell us why the Word of God supersedes all of our words. If this was my church, it would look radically different than the one that God describes in his Word, because I'm a guy and I have certain tastes and want, like, there's a lot of things that would be different. I've talked about that before, and I don't have time to talk about it now. We wouldn't have very many announcements, I know for sure. And we wouldn't have song leaders that preach sermons in the middle of their song leading. I know that for sure. I think I like those dresses that women wear sometime that go all the way to the floor and have the big puffy sleeves. That'd be a good rule to have. We probably wouldn't wear ties in my church if it was my church. But it's not my church, and it's not my word. The reason it's not is because I don't have the power that God has. I can't raise anybody from the dead. I can't keep all the promises I make. I don't know what's going on in the future. I don't know what happened before time. I'm not God. And neither are these other people. And even the greatest man, you could take the greatest men that ever lived and you could put them all on this stage. John the Baptist would be there. Abraham would be there. King David would be there, you know. The apostles would be there. I wouldn't be. But those people that are there, what we would know that the reason that they're where they are is not because they were the smartest people that ever came along, or they were the most physically strong. Samson probably wouldn't be among that elite group of people. But the thing that would stand out about those people is that they knew God. And the thing that would stand out about them is that they submitted to God. When Moses was told he would not enter the promised land, he kept serving God. He kept following him. He kept speaking for him. He kept lifting him up. He kept serving him. And he's called faithful because of that. When God would make a promise to Abraham, when he's an old man, it's going to be 25 years before that old man gets that son that God promised he would get. And during that time, he followed God. He went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man of faith because he knew who God was. And when we look at Paul, what do we know about him? There's nobody like him. Nobody got beat up more than he got beat up just because he was a preacher. No one wrote more scripture. No one was in jail more hours. No one suffered more. No one walked farther. No one started more churches. No one wrote more scripture. No one did what he did. He was on fire for God. He was consumed with it. He had an answer for whatever it was. He had more visions than anyone. He knew more than anybody else in his day. But the thing that set him apart was his total submission to God and his total elevation of Christ. He said, I don't even count. It's Christ. I don't know anything except Christ. I don't even live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. Now, if Paul would say that, what should we say? And the reason that we don't is because we want something else that we can't provide. Sometimes groups of Christians get together and they decide that from now on, we're not going to do what God tells us to do. Or they say that from now on, we're going to do some things that God tells us not to do. Remember what Paul just told us here, that the word of God is not from Paul, but it was from God. And it comes through Jesus, who has the power to forgive our sins, and through his Father, who had the power to raise him from the dead. Now that promise that for those that are in Christ will someday be raised from the dead and go to meet the Lord in the air and always be with him is one of the big promises that I'm going to hold on to, because it makes it possible for me to go through anything else that I've got to go through, because I know how this story is going to end. Nobody else can make that promise but God. And Paul tells us this word is from God. This word has the power of God. It comes from God. He said, I didn't make it up. I didn't even get together with other apostles and study it out. God gave it to me by revelation. You know, there's some things we could know if we applied our mind to it. There was a fellow one time that thought he would study a peanut for all that he could get out of it. And we have statues of that guy all over the world because it was amazing what he found in a peanut. We could learn a lot of things. Solomon could have a Plymouth if he'd have put his mind to it, because everything that was here that he needed to have here to build a car was there. Just no one had thought about it. No one had applied themselves to it. But you can't know the stuff Paul's telling us if God didn't tell you. You couldn't possibly know what happened on the first day. You couldn't possibly know what's going to happen on the last day. You couldn't possibly know about God except by guessing and speculation. Revelation is the way, and he said, and that's where I got it. I got it through revelation. I can't even tell you everything that I know, but I got it through revelation. This is what he's telling us about the Word of God. And he's telling us that the Word of God, that Jesus saves us and delivers us, and he's able to do it because he is God, and because God is able to raise the dead, and because God is eternal, and because God has all power, and he knows all things, those promises we can count on. These other fellows, you can't do that. Because they're talking about something that's different, he tells us here in verse 6, a different gospel. Now, there might be another good news of some sort, but it won't be the good news that saves you eternally. It won't be the good news that promises you everlasting life. It won't be the good news that makes you whole and clean and right. That's the gospel. And so this different gospel would be a fake gospel. Maybe it would be just an adapted one. He would use the next word in verse 7. He would talk about perverting the gospel. Just alter it a little bit. Just make a few changes. And that's how you turn water into hydrochloric acid. It's not that much different, but it's enough different to make it totally different. Totally a different element completely. And it does different things. You don't wash your hands in acid. You wash your hands in water. You don't drink acid. The difference of a perversion makes all the difference in the world. It's the difference between being happily married and being a lustful person. It's the difference between being an honorable child and a good parent and having some broken, perverted family, out of sorts, a dysfunctional group of people living together, hurting one another and living off of one another. Perversion is a terrible thing, especially when what we're perverting is truth, especially when what we're perverting would mean that we don't have the promise anymore. He didn't mean we just pray. It means we pray through the name of Jesus. It didn't mean we just go to church, but we assemble as Christians who come together in the name of Christ. It doesn't mean we just believe something. We believe the gospel. And he says some people are changing it and perverting it, and it's not allowed. It's not good, because the fact is that he tells us that if the truth is told and the commands are given and the worlds are made, all of this happens through the Word of God, that light goes forth because of the Word of God, that life begins because of the Word of God, that judgment is made because of the Word of God, and one day time will end because of the Word of God. Paul's apostleship, he says, comes through Christ. Read these verses. He said it comes through Christ, not through man. It comes not from man, not through man, but through Christ and through God the Father who raises the dead. The Word of God is active. The Word of God is living. He says in another place, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able actually get to the heart of everything, get to remind who I am and expose it to God, and then God can do something about it. The Word of God is amazing. It's able to divide and to reveal and to save and to condemn. We must have it. We must know it. We must believe it. We must practice it. And you ought to be suspicious of anyone, anyone, even your preacher, that would say, the Word of God is not right, that I'm right. You should be suspicious. You should run from. You should have no fellowship. That's what he just said here, wasn't it? In verse, 8 and 9, when he says, anyone that preaches something different, You don't have anything to do with them because they're going to a different place. They're following a different Lord. And what they're preaching is not the gospel. We have to have the gospel. Without the gospel, we're all lost. Without the gospel, we're all wandering in darkness. Without the gospel, Paul would tell us in another place, we're the joke of the universe. All of this and nothing else? This is it? This is what the world is? No, we have the gospel. We know because God is involved in it. We know because He's given it to us. We cling to it. We defend it, not because God needs defending. The truth is the truth. 1 million people can believe a lie. It's still a lie. 1 billion people can believe something stupid. It's still stupid. A whole nation of people can bow down to an idol. It's still a rock. The truth is the truth. But it's very essential. It's absolutely essential that I embrace that, that I cling to it, that I, when I say defend it, that I say, this is where I stand. When Elijah is talking to that pagan king Ahab, and he said, in the name of the Lord before whom I stand, what was he saying? Kill me if you want to. I don't belong to you. I belong to God. And that's why when he prayed, fire came down. And when they prayed, they just got tired. Because he was praying to God. They were praying to a rock. The fact is the truth is the truth. God doesn't need us to defend him. One day he's going to speak and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's going to happen. That's a sure thing because God said it would happen. The word of God doesn't need me to defend it. But he does call on us to believe it. And he does call on us to proclaim it. And he does call on us to stand in it. And he does call on us to obey that word. That's why we come together. That's why we're Christians. He doesn't need us, but we desperately need him. And we need what the word of God will do. And there's never been a time when that was more important. Because the Word of God is a light. And darkness cowers in the corners. That's why they shoot preachers. That's why they burn down churches. That's why they confiscate Bibles. Because the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God is true. And it has great effect. Even on little bitty minds, last night, I heard a wonderful statement. A little boy that went to our school last year, his father died. They had to move. He calls his grandmother. And he said, you want to know something really, really, really sad? You don't want to know something really, really bad? In my new school, nobody talks to me about Jesus. Nobody tells me about Jesus. They're moving back because six? A little boy knows the Word of God does something. The Word of God is real. And it doesn't even seem dumb to him. It seems like the whole thing. Why wouldn't he want to be a part of that? And so the rest of the people around him are moved by that. I was moved by that. Aren't you moved by that? The Word of God. There's nothing like it. The Word of God. It comes from God, not from men. If we did it, it would be like everything else we do. We'd have to be fixing it all the time. We would have to be changing things. We would have to be adapting it. We'd have to be having meetings all the time. What do we do now? But the Word of God comes from one who made us and knows everything about us. The Word of God comes from someone who was before time and will be here after time. He knows everything. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing he doesn't know. And Paul said, the gospel I'm giving you comes from him. It doesn't need any improvement. It is the Word of God. You can know the Word of God and not know anything else, and you'll be okay. You can know everything else there is to know and not know the Word of God, and you're lost. That's how simple it is. And Paul says, that's where I got it. Later, he's going to say, I'm astonished that you're so quickly abandoning it. The thing that sets Christians apart from everybody else is that we're making an effort to follow the Word of God. Now, one of the things that we have going on with us is we all know areas that we should improve. We know that there's dark corners in our life. There's rooms that need to be cleaned out in our mind. We all know there's apologies that we need to make and forgiveness that we need to ask for. We all know there's dirty practices we need to stop. And we all know that there's forgiveness that we need. Everybody here has a room like that. The Word of God tells us how to find it. The Word of God tells us what to look for. The Word of God shows us the right way. Faith is the thing that motivates us to open that door and clean out that room. And we do it by going to God. Why? Because the gospel comes from God through Jesus. That's where we take it. Every time this church comes together, we give you an opportunity to get right with God. Why don't you take that opportunity right now and come to Jesus while we stand and sing?